Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Welcome back, folks. We have been talking a lot about what's going on with the U.S.-Iran-Israel conflict. It's very fluid. It's very fragile. A lot has happened today. There appears to be a ceasefire. It seems as though all three parties recognize same. But one of the factors that looms out there is if there is an economic impact or economic blowback as a result of the actions of the United States. And here joining us to talk about that is Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
So I would assume that you kind of agree with what the way I've characterized this at the present time. What are we seeing as it relates to any economic implications arising as a result of the actions of any of these three parties?
Yeah, thanks so much for asking. I mean, I guess the single number that people probably focus most on, at least in the United States, in the economic realm, is the price of oil. But sort of global oil markets, especially over the past decade, have started to effectively price in conflict in and around the Persian Gulf to the extent that it would seemingly take quite a lot to boost oil prices for a long time. So oil, at least in the United States, was trading at around $65 a barrel for West Texas Intermediate before Israel launched the tax on Iran. That got up to maybe around $74 over the weekend. But as of today's markets, they're right back down where they started at around $65 a barrel. So assuming and hoping that this ceasefire holds, we may not see really direct economic impacts of that sort.
Obviously, there was big concerns about disruption of oil flow for China and some of the other Asian countries that purchase a lot from both Iraq and Iran. Did we see any changes there?
Yeah, so we've certainly seen a dramatic drop in Iran's oil output by some measures, as much as 90% of its exports. And that's not surprising, given that many of the Israeli strikes on Iran targeted oil infrastructure. But actually, maybe some of your listeners don't know this, but a lot of the oil production, even from other countries in and around the Persian Gulf, so Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, a lot of that oil is also headed towards East Asia and especially China at this point in time. And certainly if we'd seen a truly dramatic action from Iran, like mining the Strait of Hormuz, which is the narrow bit of water at the end of the Persian Gulf, that could have impacted up to a quarter of the global oil supply and as much as a fifth of global natural gas trade. So that would, of course, have a truly massive impact on the global economy. If Iran unleashes large amounts of mines in there, the United States Navy does not maintain a particularly large minesweeper fleet, unfortunately, so it would potentially take some time to clear that waterway. But, of course, that would also box in Iran's entire ability to export oil and the ability of Iraq, whose government is notionally aligned with Israel as well, to export that as well.
The Vice President J.D. Vance said it would be absolutely idiotic for that to actually happen. It would be, cutting off their nose to spite their face. You never know with this government, this theocracy in Iran. But it seems to make sense that if they had any hope of being able to support themselves in the near future, in the aftermath of this event, that wouldn't be the course that they would take, right?
Yeah, and that's sort of the thing with the Islamic Republic of Iran, in that obviously on the one hand, there's a clear ideological factor to how Supreme Leader Khamenei and others run the country, but there's also a fair amount of rational calculation as well. Their priority, like any political leaderships, is to stay in power, and that's part of why I think we saw the response we did yesterday, in that you saw Iranian missiles launched at an American airbase in neighboring Qatar, but there was also a significant amount of calculation to that. They telegraphed that in advance to both the U.S. government and to the Qatari government to basically make it as easy as possible to shoot down those missiles. The choice of target is also relevant, in that there are certainly other U.S. facilities in the region that could be attacked. The U.S. Fifth Fleet is based in Bahrain. Saudi Arabia's oil installations have been hit before by Iranian-aligned armed groups in 2019. But Iran's relations with those countries have only really improved in the past couple of years, whereas they've had a longer and sort of more collegial relationship with Qatar. Qatar likes to position itself as a sort of middleman in diplomacy in the region, so was willing to, in this case somewhat literally, take the hit in order to try and help broker some kind of an agreement to achieve the current ceasefire.
Obviously, there's going to be talk of sanctions, right? And I got to imagine that is something that Iran's not going to sit idly by. I mean, it's going to be difficult enough dealing with the centrifuges, the location of same, where all of this is going. But sanctions could really gut the nation in a different way and put the regime at risk. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I think that. So I don't know the exact extent of U.S. sanctions on Iran at this point, but part of the challenge for U.S. policy right now is we've more or less cranked sanctions up to the max that we can on Iran without seeking to sort of shut down the entire economy. I mean, there's a certain extent to which we, at least U.S. policy, does not sort of seek to fully shut down Iran's economy. That would involve, for example, putting extraordinary pressure on the United Arab Emirates, which maintains a lot of trade with Iran. Doubtless, there's always some way to put even more pressure on the country. But I think, as you point out, one of the key remaining questions is sort of if there is to be any deal that goes beyond merely a ceasefire, such as the kind of diplomatic deal that President Trump has talked about for a while, that's going to have to involve some degree of inspection of Iran's continued nuclear program or some ability to verify that Iran is abiding by any agreements there. So first of all, just physically difficult to inspect some of these sites, given that they're now buried under some degree of rubble. But it'll also be challenging to get Iran to agree to renewed inspections sort of after this U.S. strike that occurred amid sort of President Trump's claims that he was more interested in diplomacy. Now, clearly, Iranian officials seem interested in at least some degree of diplomatic negotiations now, so that's certainly possible. You know, merely some kind of indication that the United States will lean on even Israel to maintain the terms of that ceasefire may be enough to induce Iran to come to the table and stay at the table in that regard. But in terms of economic pressure, it's not really clear that the United States can do a lot more than it already does.
We're visiting with Andrew Lieber, a Tulane political scientist, talking about economic implications of this U.S.-Iran-Israel conflict. In the aftermath of Iraq, when you said that these complications and the uneasiness of the Middle East, it's kind of baked in to Wall Street. Is that lessons learned? And or is it more about capacity of all others in being able to backfill oil production?
Yeah, so I think there's been a real shift in maybe the past 20 years from, you know, the way that policymakers and sort of, you know, market makers, I guess, in the United States thought, you know, going back in the 20th century after the oil embargo of the 1970s, where I think there's just a baked-in assumption now that any short-term disruption in oil production will indeed be backfilled somewhere else. Or if, for example, Russia can no longer sell its oil to European countries, then it's going to sell it instead to China or India, and eventually that's going to make its way through the market and everything settles out again. There's also the fact, I mean, the United States is a major oil producer in a way that was not true 20 years ago. So I think that also affects U.S. policy discussions and U.S. decision making. I think it's driven, this has been a big policy conversation for maybe a decade now on the extent to which the United States still has the same degree of critical economic interest in the security of the Persian Gulf. And I think the fact that that's even an ongoing discussion reflects the fact that global oil markets just sort of aren't what they were back in, say, the 1990s.
Yeah, because, you know, it's thankfully we don't have that that additional pressure on us as we're making our way through this at the present time. I mean, it's always nice to have one less issue to have to try to get your arms around, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think when I think about the economic implications of this conflict and this ongoing situation, I think it's probably going to factor much more in the longer term. So I think, for example, about countries on the other side of the Gulf from Iran, Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates have some pretty dramatic economic plans. They want to oversee the major transformations of their economies. That was a major theme of President Trump's visit to Saudi Arabia and other countries in the region last month. But it's going to be hard to find foreign investors to sustain that kind of economic development, particularly if you're talking about fragile infrastructure like major data centers, if there's the looming threat of a shooting war hanging over the region.
Do you get a sense of the, or do you have a sense of the state of Israel's economy at the present time?
Yeah, sort of. That's a little bit outside of my area of expertise. I think that certainly in the immediate aftermath of October 7th and the war in Gaza, that the Israeli economy sort of certainly took a hit. And certainly the longer the conflict in Gaza goes on, in addition to the sort of pretty dramatic humanitarian costs at this point in time, there is a sort of a drag on the Israeli economy as well. You have a significant portion of the productive population of the country is either sort of called up or potentially called up to serve in the military. Certainly, you have the potential for brain drain from the country as Israelis with marketable skills opt to live sort of not in an active conflict zone. I don't know the extent to which that's happened, but similar challenges that Saudi Arabia and the UAE may face, and that it'll be challenging to get significant foreign investment into the country at a time when it seems like that sort of at any minute, you know, we're glad that the ceasefire has broken out now, has sort of been established now, but it's unclear as of yet how long that will hold.
Yeah, it's. I think you would agree the fragility. Who knows, you know, what lurks out there in the coming days. We were talking to Brandon Buck from Cato earlier. It seems as though this is going to be really centered around the ability of the president himself individually and kind of holding these parties together with the assistance of whether it be Qatar or someone else. In the discussions with Iran?
Yeah, I would certainly agree to that. I mean, I think that in some of my own conversations over the past week, I've said that it's really hard to predict what's going to happen with this conflict, at least in terms of U.S. policy, because a lot is up to sort of President Trump's personal decisions on sort of a day-to-day basis. As we've seen, sort of what President and his team are telling the press, or, you know, like any with any politician, are not always what they're thinking or deciding behind the scenes. But his thinking does seem to be shaped kind of like on a week-to-week basis based on how he sees the situation and who he's talked to. Certainly, the impression after President Trump visited Saudi Arabia and other of the Gulf monarchies was that he was maybe deprioritizing Israel somewhat in terms of U.S. policy towards the Middle East and North Africa. That clearly shifted over the past couple weeks in terms of him deciding to join Israeli strikes on Iran. But, you know, has apparently now shifted back towards prioritizing a ceasefire. So I think in terms of seeing where U.S. policy will go towards the region, we're certainly plenty of individuals and, you know, plenty of organizations, Congress among them, will be trying to influence the president's thinking, but it'll all basically be up to him.
Yeah, absolutely. Andrew, thank you so much for joining us. Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist. Truly appreciate your time, your insight, and have a great week.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's Andrew Lieber, Tulane political scientist. Would love to hear from you. We're going to go to the talk lines. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Your thoughts about where we find ourselves in the Middle East at the present time. Your thoughts about how Donald Trump has handled this situation thus far. Do you think it was a mistake to take out the nuclear capabilities of Iran? Would love to hear from you. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome back, folks. We'd love to hear from you. 504-260-1870 on the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. There's a lot that was going on that was leading to this ceasefire agreement as well, and that was the Iranian parliament had voted to no longer participate and cooperate with the IAEA, which is the organization that goes in and audits where the Iranians are relative to their nuclear capability, the enriched uranium stockpile inventory that they had, and otherwise, obviously, they were sending out indications that they were in it for the long haul, and that they were no longer going to participate or cooperate with the international community as it relates to their enriched uranium inventory and what they were ultimately going to do there, which would have been very problematic for sure, and certainly was sending the wrong message out there, and it was I have to imagine was very disconcerting to all of those that were watching this particular issue. But it gives you the sense, obviously, of the fragility of what's actually going on here, right? It also gives you the sense that internally, in many respects, of what's going on inside of Iran, that there is, I don't want to say discontent, but there's disagreement. And there's also been intelligence information that's been talked about that Israel has been in constant communication with a number of Iranian generals on a daily basis. And a lot of the information that they have actually has come from them. What we also find is that Qatar and the Qatari prime minister, the role that they've played in securing this ceasefire. I'm not one that has actually ever really trusted Qatar. I find that they're like double agents. They're working all sides against the middle. They have actually supported many of these groups that have not been in the best interest of the United States, which I think is a problem. It's not been clear to me that they are our most reliable ally in the Middle East. I guess there are certain relationships that you just have to tolerate as it relates to what's going on in the Middle East, and that happens to be one of them. But obviously, they will continue to play a role. We are not communicating with the Iranians directly, is what it looks like in all the news reports, that we're doing so through the intermediary, and it looks like Qatar is going to be that intermediary that we're going to be relying on, which was the same intermediary that we had in dealing U.S. and Israel with Hamas. That didn't go so well on many occasions, and actually got sidetracked several times and ended up being a problem as well. So it's going to be interesting to see where this ends up here. It's also, I think, will continue to be interesting to see what the role of the UN is going to be. I think that the Trump administration is going to try and isolate the UN and isolate the UN's influence that they may have in this process. I think they have already revealed that they're not looking out or are interested in what the U.S. really hopes to achieve here. They have been very outspoken in support of not only the Palestinians but the Iranians. And it seems again that the UN is not going to align their interest at all with what we hope to accomplish here in this ceasefire. Obviously, they are in support of a ceasefire. That goes without saying. But I'm not certain that they're going to be supporting anything that Israel and or the United States proposes. They're going to break and fall on the side of Iran, which they have done so over and over and over again. And obviously, I think Russian influence, Chinese influence, North Korean influence, all working together with misdirection, all trying to increase the fragility of this ceasefire agreement, not necessarily wanting it all to, you know, go away in its totality, but obviously just to be a disruptive force in this and to extend this out as long as possible, because it's going to consume a lot of time, assets of the U.S., less focus on Taiwan, less focus on other areas of the country, less focus on Ukraine. The whole Ukrainian situation, I think, is going to be caught up in this and will suffer as it relates to the heightened interest that we'll have on what's happening in the Middle East for certain. Would love to hear from you, 504-260-1870. Just a reminder, if you love football, don't miss the special broadcast live from the Manning Passing Academy on Friday. Join Mike Dottiglia and Steve Geller for Sports Talk Live from Thibodeau at Nicholls State University. They'll bring you to the 50-yard line at the premier football camp in America with the first family of football, Archie, Eli, and Cooper. This amazing camp has been helping players reach their full potential on and off the field by embracing the fundamentals of football for key offensive positions, running back, tight end, wide receiver, and, of course, quarterback. And this year it will feature elite quarterbacks Archie Manning and Garrett Nussmeier. So mark your calendar for Sports Talk Live from the Manning Passing Academy Friday, brought to you by the good folks at Thibodeau Regional Health System and WWL. And also, don't forget that WWL and the Riverfront Marketing Group invite you to go forth on the river. Join us Independence Day celebration along the historic New Orleans Riverfront for a world-class free fireworks display July 4th at 9 p.m. Come out early to enjoy the pleasures of the French Quarter and downtown New Orleans hotels, museums, restaurants, and bars, followed by the spectacular fireworks synchronized to patriotic music over the mighty Mississippi River at 9 p.m. Viewing is great from both banks. Be there, and we light up the skies and celebrate America's birthday. Go forth on the river from the Riverfront Marketing Group and WWL. Coleman, do we have a caller? Let's go to Mark. You're up. What say you?
Do you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, we agree very rarely listening to your show. But anyway, when a new president's administration goes into effect, the first trip the presidents make are to our allies, just to reassure our bonds with all of our allies. I'm just wondering if you have any insight to why Donald Trump's first trip would have been to Qatar, to Saudi Arabia, and to United Arab Emirates. Besides having making deals on family profits, I was just wondering, any idea why he would go meet with those countries, which aren't really our allies, per se, on his first visit? And I'll just get off and let you talk.
Well, it's just going to be conjecture on my part, Mark, but I think he felt very strongly about the Abraham Accords and trying to reset the landscape in order for that to happen. Obviously, a lot of folks believe that what happened on October 7th was as a result that they were getting closer on the Abraham Accords, and that there were a lot of gains in the discussions that they had in the first administration of Trump. And I think he wanted to reset that landscape and reset the course in moving forward with and hopefully reaching some completion relative to the Abraham Accords. And it's just conjecture on my part.
Sorry to interrupt. I think there were some communications about opening Trump hotels. And I know for a fact, I don't know if it was Qatar or who it was, gave him like $2 billion worth of getting involved in Trump crypto coins. So I don't really have all the details. But it's just nothing sounds right with Trump. Everything he does is nefarious, and especially with this, you know, dropping a guy who never served a day in the military. He's the first one to dropping bombs on other countries. And they say, well, he's done something none of the other presidents would do. No, and I would argue maybe because the other presidents, were using diplomacy and strategy and intelligence, which that's another thing. They don't even know if he's even had any intelligence besides him just, hitting buttons on a whim. I think Tulsi Gabbard's not involved in his group. I think they said Hegseth was not involved. You know, it's just something, man. I'm telling you, we're in really big trouble with this guy.
Well, I don't know what the diplomacy actually got us. I mean, we do know that Iran violated the JCPOA, and we had sanctioned them to the extent that we could sanction them. A lot of other parties did not. Some still want to say that that's the guiding document there. They were limited to enriched uranium at 3.67%. They have over 40,000 centrifuges of 20% enriched uranium or greater, about 2,000 centrifuges of 60% enriched uranium or greater. So one might argue that attempts at diplomacy with Iran did not yield productive results if we were worried about nuclear capability. I would remind you that it is much harder to enrich uranium from the 3% to 60% level than it is to get from 60 to 90. In fact, to get from 60 to 90, they're saying, can be done in a month. So if you judge by outcome, one might argue and have a stronger argument to say that that strategy, that diplomacy did not work very well, because they obviously did what they want, when they want, how they want, not to mention their ballistic missile capability, as well as they were well on their way on an ICBM program, intercontinental ballistic missile. For what reason? Well, connect the dots to deliver a nuclear warhead and to become a bigger player on the national field, international field, than what they truly are by virtue of the nuclearization program that they didn't issue a policy statement saying that that's what they were doing. But it doesn't take a rocket science to figure out what direction this was headed, because there's no civilian use for enriched uranium at 60%. So I don't know how you address that, but obviously diplomacy didn't lead to a good place as to where we are at the present time. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
So, you know, a lot of folks are trying to connect what I've said about LaToya Cantrell to this situation with Donald Trump. The JCPOA was a bad deal from day one, in my humble opinion. Never did like it. It, was bannered about before I was on radio. Obviously, when Trump came into office, he didn't like it. He didn't like the cash delivery. He didn't like the way the Obama administration had handled it. And he didn't like where they were at the present time because they had enriched uranium far in excess of the 3.67% that was outlined in the JCPOA. And I think he understood exactly where the Iranian officials were going. Now, we can argue about whether or not we should have stayed in and tried to be more aggressive. We were sanctioning them to the nth degree. A lot of others weren't. The UN was not big help to the U.S. and the concerns that they had relative to Iran. They're still not. And the fact of the matter is that over leading up to that time, they were well on their way with their ballistic missile program, and they were already involved in the development of ICBMs. And where they find themselves between then and now is an acceleration of all of that. The agreement is still intact. It's just the U.S. is not a participating member. Others are. But they've never been able to squelch the desire of the Iranians relative to the development of either one of these programs. And it's really what was the linkage with the nuclear capability, this onset of this ballistic program, ICBM, and other programs as well, and the way that they were secreting these centrifuges from all of the auditors and alike. And it's why Israel did what they ultimately did. And it's why I think President Trump did what he did when he bombed those nuclear facilities and production facilities. Whether you like Donald Trump or not really isn't the question here. The question is whether or not the security of the homeland of the U.S. is better today by them having an impaired nuclear capability than the day before. And I simply answer that question, yes. I don't really give a damn if it would have been Barack Obama or Joe Biden or Donald Trump that carried this out and eliminated this threat and eliminated the thorn in the side of everyone in the Middle East. The Arab nations, the state of Israel, have all been concerned with the role and the disruptive force that Iran has played in financing proxies there and everything else, and the killing of Americans, and not really caring at all. So, I mean, I choose not to make this about Trump. I choose to make this about the issue. I mean, there are those that want to always make it about Trump. See, I have the capacity to actually like people on the other side of the aisle. I've had the capacity and have exhibited same to actually support people on the other side of the aisle when my side of the aisle put up a candidate that I didn't think was worthy of my support. I have huge differences of opinion with Donald Trump and the way that he handles himself, the certain things that he does. I don't like his style. I never have, never will. But I will give credit where credit's due. I've done the same for LaToya Cantrell, where she has done things that I thought were successful. I gave her credit for it. Overall, I don't like her style of governance and or leadership. Overall, I don't like the style of Trump's governance and or leadership. But there are moments in time and inflection points in the history of this country where we have opportunities that we're either going to take advantage of or we're going to sit back and wait. It was interesting. I saw an opinion piece by Anthony Blinken. Was not a big fan of his. Of course, he's very critical of Trump bombing these nuclear sites. Only time will tell as to how this plays out. But we knew exactly where we were and why we were there and why we were in the position that we were. It was because of Obama, his previous employer, as well as Joe Biden. Got a text here that says the IAEA said Iran was in compliance in 2018. That, to the best of their knowledge, because they were only given limited access. I mean, you got to go back to that period of time and go look at all the documents as to what was said, how it was said, and everything else, right? You know, and the intelligence is, you're not going to find a smoking gun document out there at all. And it's just amazing that people keep looking for this, for some dictate from the Ayatollah saying that we have a strong desire and we are now on the path in the development of nuclear weapons. That document's not going to exist. But there's no reason to have 60% enriched uranium. There's no reason for them to have ICBMs. There's no reason for them to have these ballistic missiles other than to wreak havoc within the Middle East. Plain and simple. And they continue to go down this path. And we see what they're doing in the way that they're carrying on in their business up until this point in time, right? Death to America, death to Israel. What other evidence do we need that they are actually an adversary? We'll be right back.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.